already said that they are 3 weeks alcohol free. Praise God. That's a big step. And their quote was, kiss it goodbye. So I guess your message on kiss it goodbye got them to kiss that goodbye. Praise God. I love it. Our one prayer request we got is for Jade, who's meeting. She has to meet with her college advisors this week because she needs an extension in order to do her major, and she really needs the favor of God. So we're going to pray and believe God with her. Amen. And if you need prayer, just come on out. We're going to have one more worship song. Just worship God with all. Do you know that you are changing the atmosphere in here? I can sense it. I have such a stirring in my heart because the presence of God fills this place. And there's no doubt, there's no telling what He does in the lives of people when we worship Him like this and invite His presence. Amen. So come on down if you need prayer, and let's worship.
I think it's safe to say that a lot of us in this room would admit that we need a miracle in our life. And what I love about Jesus is He doesn't make us work for anything. It's not about what we do, but it's about what He has already done for us. And so many people are like, I need this miracle, and they're so focused on that miracle. But I just want to encourage you today, perhaps that miracle lies behind Jesus, and maybe we should set our attention and our affection on Jesus. Where your miracle lies is lifting up His name, just putting your attention on Him, how worthy He is, how amazing He is. And a good way to do that is just to sing. These words are going to help you perfectly, okay? We're going to sing this together. We're a family here. Worthy. Sing worthy.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. All the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for You. Sing Jesus. Jesus, the name above every other name. So high and lifted up. Jesus, the only ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for You. Oh, it's all for You. And holy, there is no one like You. There is none beside You. Open up my eyes.
Show me who You are and fill me.
now we're going to make a declaration. Not by our words alone, but by His word. Because it is a firm foundation. It is a sure truth that we can put our trust in. So let's declare this together in this place today. Every single voice lifted. This is important. Our words carry power. Sing, I will build. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. And I will put my trust in you alone. And I will not. That's the answer. Let's sing. And I will build my life upon your perfect love. It's a firm foundation. And I will put my trust in you alone. And I will not be. I will build. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone. And I will not be shaken. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Holy, there is no one like you. Come on.
There is none beside you.
Can we fill this room?
Hallelujah. It's no one like you, Lord. No one like you, Lord. We glorify you in this place. Hallelujah. Sweet sound of worship in this place. Amen. Praise God. Well, thank you for worshiping with us this morning. Are we going to take a minute? Won't you just turn and welcome someone warmly? Tell them we're glad to see you. God. Well, don't you all look good this morning? Looking good. We're so glad that you're here. Welcome to Ascend Church. We're so, I love Sundays. And you know what? You know what's amazing? You don't just go to church on Easter. How about that? Give yourselves a hand for that. Come on. You know how many Christians go to church on Easter and Christmas and not in between? Come on. We want to walk in the power of God, right? We want to walk in everything God has for us, so we don't want to just show up a couple of times a year. Amen? Good job being here the week after Easter. It's good. Praise God. Well, welcome to church this morning. I like to make this clear that four main purposes of our church is that, first of all, we want to help you know God better than what you do already. We want to help you find freedom. We want to help you discover your purpose. We all have a purpose, amen? And we want to together with you make a difference in this world. First of all, in our community, then stretching out, and then globally. Amen. We want to make a difference. You with us on that? Praise God. But we want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time today. Maybe you were invited by somebody. Perhaps you just saw an invite and came in. However you did, we don't believe it's an accident. You know, sometimes things happen and we think we made the choice or somebody else kind of coerced us into doing something. And then we look back and we're like, man, God was leading me all the time. Anybody got here that way, that God directed you here, right? I did. So I hope that if you're here for the first time, our prayer is that something that is said or the atmosphere today will minister to you, bring you encouragement, that you'd hear something that you need to hear. That would uplift you and that you get to know God a little better than what you do. But if you're here for the first time, we'd like to just give you a visitor pack right where you're sitting. Our ushers are standing with them. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we can welcome you? Anyone for the first time today, God bless you. Met you, Taylor. Good to see you here. In that gift, in that visitor pack, it says guest. Just take a moment and fill that out for us. And when the offering basket bucket comes by at the end of the service, just drop it in. It gives us just the opportunity to give you a call and find out how you enjoyed the service. I see some faces. I just like always get up here and then I want to say hi to people that I haven't seen for a little while. But we're glad that you're here. We expect God's going to speak and minister to us. Amen. Praise the Lord.
We just recently had our first revival night. The first Sunday of every month is our revival night, Sunday. And I just wanted Moises to share, as I was talking to him, about how the Lord touched him. Yeah, there was such a strong presence of God. There was such a strong anointing at the revival night. It was really amazing. In fact, my wife, Pastor Jill, she said that usually when the Lord speaks to her, it's like an unction she hears. She gets like an unction from her belly. She feels a prompting. But this time on Sunday night, something happened that never happened to her before. She said she felt like someone had come, like someone was speaking right up like this. She felt the Holy Spirit speaking right in her ear. And the Holy Spirit said, just say what I tell you to say. And she went around telling people exactly what the Holy Spirit told her. What did it happen? I wanted you to just share with us what the Lord did, how the Lord touched you at the Bible Night.
Well, Pastor Steve, I'm still trying to digest the whole experience. It was an amazing time. You know, the Holy Spirit was alive, I mean, alive and well in a church so strong. I've never felt a presence like that before or since. It was a special time.
Can't hear it. Now, when I watched it on my phone, perfect. Watched it, listen here, can't hear it, Chester. So it's something to do with our sound, because I watched that video on my phone, it was great. And now I can't even hear what they're saying. But anyway, that was, unfortunately, you couldn't hear it, but that was Moises telling about how the Lord touched him last time we had our first revival night. And next Sunday is the first Sunday of the month, and that means, yes, yes. The first Sunday of every month, we have revival night. Well, I think we can improve the sound here, Chester. I can't hear Bobby clearly when he's singing, and I can't hear the voices on the video. We need to adjust the sound. There's too much bass. There's not enough tops on it, okay? So now, the first Sunday of every month, we have a revival night at 6 p.m. And so next Sunday is our second revival night. And the first one, it really was amazing. I mean, the Lord really showed up, and there was such a presence of God. There was such an anointing of God. What I was trying to say in the video was that my wife, you know, usually she'll feel an unction. She'll feel the Lord stirring her down here in her spirit, in your heart. And usually she'll feel the Lord unction her, and she will just, you know, say what she feels the Lord telling her. But this This time something happened never happened to her before. She said that it was like someone was standing right next to her. You know, like if someone's whispering in your ear and they cup their hands and they right next to your ear, they whisper in your ear. Well, she felt the Holy Spirit right here next to her ear whisper and say, just tell you whatever I tell, just say whatever I tell you. And she began to tell people certain things that the Lord had told her. Number of people that came afterwards and said that, you know, nobody else knew that. No one else knew that. And so the Lord really ministered and touched people. And I want to encourage you, revival night is a little different to Sunday morning service, because really it's more about, it's about experiencing the power of God. It's about the Holy Spirit manifests Himself. It's being filled with the Holy Spirit in it, and it's letting God do a work on the inside of you and entering into the supernatural realm and entering into that place where you really hear from God and you sense God's presence and God's touch. That's what revival night is about. It's about getting revived yourself, coming back to the things of God. Amen. So I want to encourage you. I'm doing this revival nights for your benefit. I said I'm doing this for your benefit. Because I want you to experience everything that God has for you. Are you with me? We don't want to become a church that's, you know, in and out in 1 hour and that's it. We want to be a church where you come and you experience the presence of God. You experience the power of God. So next Sunday, revival night, 6 p.m., please make plans to join us next Sunday. Amen. Tell your neighbor you need to be here. Tell your neighbor you need to be here. There's two other things I want to tell you before we get into God's Word today. Two other things. First of all, let me ask you this, and this was not on my notes. What time does church start on Sunday? Can you say it a little louder for me? So let me ask you, how come you weren't all here at 10 o'clock? Last night, I went to sleep at 2 a.m. And I was here this morning at 8:30. I want to encourage you, man. This service is only 90 minutes long. You don't want to miss 1 minute of it. You don't want to miss 1 minute of it. Sunday morning is an appointment with God. You don't want to be late for an appointment with God. You know, it's amazing to me how people will be on time for school. They'll be on time for work. They'll be on time to go to the movies. They'll be on time to go for dinner. But for some reason, they don't think it's necessary to be on time for their appointment with God on Sunday morning. Listen, I want to encourage you, be here before we start. Get here before we start. So you can be at the beginning of the service. You know, we have our musicians get here at 8 a.m. We have our media team get here at 8 a.m. All getting... Come on. It's a shameful. I don't want you to miss anything of what God has for you. And let me tell you, our service, every minute, we plan, we prepare every single minute. Don't just think, well, as long as I get there for the preaching of the word. Let me tell you, I don't like to miss any of the worship, because that's what prepares me to receive God's word. Amen? Can you receive that? All right, there's two things I want to mention to you that are... And the first one is this. Is that today is the last Sunday of the month, and that means today is the final step four of our growth track. We have a growth track class taking place from 12 until 1 today, and it's step number four, the last step. And today, all of our team leaders are going to come and meet the new people that are finishing growth track, and they're going to get plugged in and join one of our teams. So our team leaders are all going to be there after service. It starts at 12. We're going to go in at 12:25. 12:25, team leaders, we're going to go and we're going to meet the new folks. I want to encourage you, if you haven't done Growth Track, Growth Track is a place where you grow, discover God's purpose for your life. And it's four steps. It corresponds with the Sundays of the month. So next Sunday, we start a new growth track. Step number one starts next Sunday. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't done growth track, you need to do it. Now, here's what I'm thinking about. I did a little survey at our pre-service leaders meeting, and I asked them, and I'm going to do it to you. I'm going to ask you, how many of you right now, growth track has been from 12 until 1? But I was thinking maybe it would be better to have growth track before service from 9 until 10, so that you could come from 9 until 10, then come into church and then go home. How many of you, I want to buy a show of hands, how many of you would prefer 9 till 10? Would you hold your hand up if you prefer that time? How many of you prefer 12 until 1? Would you hold your hand up if you prefer that time? Can we do it again? Can everyone participate this time? How many of you prefer from 9 until 10? Hold your hand up. All right, well, that's definitely the more popular. So this is what we'll do. Starting next week, growth track will be from 9 a.m. until 10 a.m. Then you come right into service, grab a cup of coffee, come into service, and service is from 10 until 11:30. Then you go home. So if you have not been on our growth track yet, what I'm going to ask you to do today is, while I'm busy preaching, fill out this green card, Grow Growth Track. Fill it out. The ushers have the cards. If you hold your hand up, they'll get it to you. And in the seat back pocket in front of you, I think there's some of them as well. You need to fill out this card so we know to expect you next week, and put this card into the offering bag that'll come around later on toward the end of the service. Or you can hand it in at the information help counter in the lobby where Samantha is. You can go and hand that in after the service. But we have about 60 people. About 60 people that have completed growth track. So that means we've got about 200 people that haven't. And I want to encourage those 200, come and join us next week. This is so good for you. You'll learn so much. And, you know, our purpose is to help you to know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and make a difference. And that's what Growth Track is all about. Amen? So praise the Lord. Can I ask you to stand with me as we pray? Hold my Bible. Don't lose that card. All those people that were baptized 2 weeks ago, we had water baptism. Your baptism certificate is at the counter in the lobby as you go out today. Please pick up your baptism certificate. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you, Lord, today for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that we are joined to you. We are connected to you. We are one spirit with you. And Lord, we are connected to one another. We connected to the body of Christ. Lord, I pray today that you will bring understanding, revelation of your word this morning. I thank you, Father, for guiding us. I thank you for speaking to us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I give you all the praise for everything said and done. If you agree with that, won't you say amen, somebody? Praise God. You can be seated. Turn to someone, tell them, I'm glad you're here today. My battery is dead in this, Chester. That's the problem. The battery's dead. No, it's not. The battery's dead. It's not going to come on. I'm speaking through that. Oh, okay. Thank you, Bobby. That one's back on. Are you ready for God's word this morning? Yes. Anyone bring your Bible to church today? Yes. Would you mind holding it up, waving it around, your Bible? It's always good to bring your Bible to church, right? You want to make sure what I'm saying is in that book, right? This morning, I want to speak about the power of connection, the power of connection. You know, it's easy to try and do life on our own, to think we don't need any help. But the truth is, we will not reach our highest potential, family, by ourselves. God has ordained certain people to come into your life, to strengthen you, to encourage you, to help push you towards your purpose. Can you say amen? Have you ever seen those, have you seen geese that fly in formation? Have you ever seen the geese make that V formation. Do you know there's a reason they do that? Do you know that it takes 40% less energy for geese to fly when they're in formation? I mean, they could fly by themselves, but they understand. So let me just switch to this tester. I'm going to make sure to put a new battery in every time. We don't have this happen. Geese know that if they try and fly solo, they're not going to go as far. They go 40% further when they get in that formation. Amen? And you know, the same is true for us. Move on for me, Tasha. The same is true for us, family. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, in verse number 9, it says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, then the other can reach out and help them. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back. Two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. When you accept Jesus in your heart, how many of you accepted Jesus into your heart? When you accept Jesus into your heart, when you give your life to Him, then His life, we saw this last week, His life enters your heart and you are born again and you become a brand new person. And Christ now lives in you and you are now connected to Him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. Say, I'm one spirit with the Lord. But do you know you are not just connected to the Lord? Do you know that you are also part of His body, of His church? And you are connected to His family of believers. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, in Christ's body, we're all connected to each other. In Christ's body, we're all connected to each other. Tell your neighbor, I'm connected to you. You connected to me. The Bible says we're family. The Amplified Bible says we are all parts of one body and members of one another. We're parts of one body. We're connected to each other. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. It says some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, and some of us are free. Do you know that it doesn't matter? The Bible says whether you're a slave, whether you're free, whether you're a Gentile, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, another, in Christ, we all are the same. Are you with me? We've all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not the hand, does that make it any less a part of the body? And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? If it says our bodies have many parts and God has put each part just where He wants it, how strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but there is only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I do not need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Are you with me? The parts that we regard as less honorable are those we close with the greatest care, so we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen. While the more honorable parts do not require the special care, so God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, then all the parts are glad. And all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Say, I am a part of the body of Christ. Do you know that over 30 times in the New Testament, the term one another is used over 30 times. Let me give you some of them. Romans 12 verse 10. Be devoted to loving your fellow believers as members of one family.
try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor of one another. The Bible says we're supposed to try and outdo each other in honoring one another. Romans 12, verse 16 says, live happily together in a spirit of harmony and be as mindful of another's worth as you are of your own. Don't live with a lofty mindset thinking you're too important to serve others, but be willing to do menial tasks and identify with those who are humble-minded. Romans 13, verse 8 says, love one another. Romans 14, verse 19 says, encourage one another. Romans 15, verse 7 says, accept one another. Romans 15, verse 14 says, instruct one another. Romans 16, 16 says, greet one another. 1 Corinthians 12, 25 says, have the same care for one another. Galatians 5, 13 says, serve one another. Ephesians 4, verse 2 says, show tolerance and patience for one another. Ephesians 4, 32 says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Ephesians 5, 21 says, be supportive of each other in love. Philippians 2, verse 3 says, regard one another as more important than yourself. Tell your neighbor, you're more important than me. Well, that's not true. It says, regard them as more important than you. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, comfort one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another, build up one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:13, live in peace with one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, always aim to show kindness and seek to do good to one another. Seek to do good to one another. Hebrews 10:24, motivate one another to acts of love and good work. Motivate one another. James 5:16, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The Bible says when you confess your sins, your faults to someone else, that there is a healing that takes place. Do you know that there is a freedom that comes in relationships that you don't experience on your own? Do you know that so many things that have happened in my life and so many breakthroughs and so many things that I was set free from happened in relationship? 1 Peter 4 verse 9 says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. 1 Peter 4:10 says, every believer has received grace gifts, so use them to serve one another. And 1 Peter 5:5 says, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Let me tell you, that's a whole lot of one another's. And I don't know how it would be possible to obey all these New Testament commands if you are not part of a church. How are you going to love one another if it's just you, yourself, you know, me, my dog, and I? How are you going to love someone, honor someone, forgive someone? You've got to be committed to a local church. You've got to be part of a body, a part of a church. It'll be impossible unless you sink your roots and commit yourself to a particular local church for the long haul, family. These are all things God has called us to do, to live in community. If you're bouncing around from, you know, here to there, you're never in one place long enough to obey all these commands. Undoubtedly, listen, we are going to have challenges and we are going to have difficulties and we are going to have conflicts along the way. But it's the will of God that we stay and that we work these things out. That's why the Bible tells us to forgive one another. Why do you think the Bible says forgive one another? Because you're going to have opportunity, honey. That's why. You're going to say, well, I'm leaving the church. I'm leaving the church. Listen, man, that's why the Bible says forgive one another. That's why the Bible says show tolerance for one another. That's why the Bible says honor, live in peace with one another. If there were no problems, no conflicts in the church, these commands would be meaningless. The bottom line is God wants us, family. He wants us to live out our Christian life with one another as family. And let me tell you, when your brother, your sister, and your family does something irritating or something unkind, you don't disown them and move out. You work it out. That's what you're supposed to do. Thank you for your great enthusiasm this morning. This is what we taught our children when they were little. We are family. We are blood. We're going to have conflict, but we work it out. We forgive one another. We love one another. Listen, family, that's how it is in the church. That's what part of the reason to be part of a church. If you don't figure it out now, you're going to have to figure it up there. You'll be in growth class in heaven for the next 1,000 years. You need some one another's around you. Don't isolate yourself and think, well, I'm strong enough by myself. I'm tough enough. I'm talented enough. I can do it myself. I did it my way. You might be for what you have in mind, but let me tell you, not for what God has in mind. God has something bigger, more rewarding. You can't do it by yourself. Are you flying solo, or do you have a community of faith? People flying with you, watching over you, encouraging you, inspiring you. You're not going to become all that God created you to be without the right people around you. I mean, you might go 60%, but when you get in formation, when you have a family of faith praying for you and encouraging you and supporting you, I can tell you, you'll go 40% further than you ever will by yourself. Amen. And let me tell you, Christianity is not something you do by alone in isolation. You need godly relationships. Many people are disconnected from the body of Christ. I'm talking about believers now. They don't think they need to be in relationship. They don't think they need to be part of a church. Well, I stay home and I watch Joyce Meyer on television. Really? The scripture says in Joyce Meyer would tell you herself. Psalm 92, verse 13 says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. You've got to be planted in God's house if you want to flourish in your life. Hebrews 10, verse 25 says, this is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing. Some have formed the habit of doing. Do you know that there are some people, Christians, I'm talking about believers, that have formed a habit of not coming to church? A whole lot of them were here last Sunday for Easter. Where are they today? Well, I came for Easter. We'll see you next Easter, honey. The Bible says that don't form the habit of neglecting. Rather form the make coming to church a habit. Make it a weekly habit. Amen. It says, look at this. It says, some have formed, this is not the time to pull away. This is not the time to neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing, because we need each other. We need each other. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate the day dawning. What day is that? I said, what day is that? What day are we anticipating? The return of Jesus. I just read something this morning. The Catholic Church came out and said, "We're sorry to tell you, but Jesus isn't coming back." I'm not making this up. I'm not making it up. They came out, the Vatican. It's been so long, we don't think Jesus is coming back. But don't let that stop you. I'm not making this up. I got news for you. Jesus is coming back, my friend. He is coming back. Don't you believe anybody who says that he isn't. See, since God made you part of his body, he wants you to get connected to other believers. The word connect means to bring together or to bring into context, so that a real link or to form a relationship, to join together, to connect. And the way you connect with the body of Christ here at Ascend Church is either by serving on one of our teams or by being a part of one of our connect groups. That's how you connect. Today at step 4 of Growth Track, our team leaders will be there and they will meet new people who will join our teams. And that's one way that you connect, is get on a team. Can you say amen? I believe everybody should be serving on a team. If you're not, I encourage you, come and join Growth Track next week, 9 a.m. Next Sunday, step number 1. And then this week we start connect groups. This week we're launching connect groups. A connect group is a place where you connect with God and you connect with people. One of the best ways you can grow spiritually is in a connect group. Because connect groups encourage participation. Connect group is not just a place where people encourage you, but a connect group is a place where you learn how to encourage others. You learn how to be a minister. You learn how to minister to others, how to pray for others. Do you know every believer is called to be a minister? I said, do you know that every person in this room, you are a minister for the Lord? You are a minister for Christ. We are all ministers for him. I'm not the only minister. We are all his ministers. But you see, on a Sunday when we come to church, not everybody has the opportunity to minister, but in a connect group, everybody gets that opportunity. It's a small group and there's participation. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in verse 26, when we gather for worship, each one of you be prepared with something that will be useful for all. Sing a hymn, teach a lesson, tell a story, lead a prayer, provide an insight. Each one of you, it says. Now, how many of you know we can't do that on Sunday? Not each one of you can get up here and share something because we'd, you know, it'd be a long time. So that can't happen in a Sunday. We see this connect group, small groups, in the early church. They would meet together on Sundays at the temple, and they would be ministered to by the fivefold ministry, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. But then during the week, they would meet in one another's homes. In Acts 2:46, it says, they worshiped together regularly at the temple each day, and they met in small groups in homes for communion and shared their meals with great joy and thankfulness. Can you see community? Acts 5:42, every day in the temple and in their home Bible classes, they continued to teach and preach that Jesus is the Messiah. So they would meet in the temple and they would meet in one another's homes. In Matthew 18:20, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together as my followers, I am there among them. I am in the midst of them. Maybe someone said, well, Pastor Steve, does that mean that he's not there if I'm by myself? No, of course that doesn't mean that. Jesus said he would never leave us. He said he would never forsake us. The Lord is with you wherever you go. But the scripture talks over and over. The Bible talks about how the special presence and power of God that happens when we gather as a community, when we gather with other believers. There's an intensified presence and power of God. Are you with me? Why is Jesus so interested in our relationships? Let me tell you, Jesus was all about relationships. If you didn't know this, Jesus was all about relationships because real life change happens in the context of relationships. Your relationship decisions are your most important decisions you'll ever make in your entire life. The one thing that has had the most influence on where you are right now is the people that have been in your life. Your relationships has had the greatest influence on your life. Are you with me? I want to speak today about the importance of biblical relationships, being a part of a connect group. A connect group is a group of people who commit to do life together, focused around God's word, to pray for one another, to support one another. When we get together in connect group, we talk about Sunday sermon. They have a guide that they follow, the leader, and we ask certain questions and we talk about it. We talk about what we got out of the service and we ask questions and we pray and we encourage each other. And our connect groups are starting this week. They're going to be meeting bi-weekly, in other words, every other week. Every other week, we're having connect groups. Our connect groups operate in three seasons. We're about to start season number two, which starts May and runs May, June, July. Then we take a break for August. Then our last season, third season, is September, October, and November. And I believe that every single one of us, family, let me tell you, that I believe there is greatness, there is more potential, there is more possibilities on the inside of us than what we can ever imagine. I believe within some of you, there's a future marriage that God would honor, and there will be generations of Christ followers that you will help raise. I believe in some of you, there's a ministry that God wants to bring out of you to help other people. In some of you, there's a business, there's a vision to make a difference, a business that could help people and bring lots of money into to help ministries and fund the kingdom of God. Some of you, there's a book on the inside of you. It needs to come out. I believe that in all of you, there is greatness, family. And the problem for so many of us is the one thing that we're missing, the one thing that most people are missing is the right relationships in their life. You will never accomplish all that God wants you to accomplish without the right people around you. Say the right people. You may say, oh, well, Pastor Steve, you know, I've just got God. It's me and God. Isn't that enough? The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 5, since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs the others. We know it's not good enough just me, myself, and I, me and the Lord, Pastor Steve. No, you need the body of Christ. Tell the person next to you, you need me. I need you. Deuteronomy 32 verse 30 says, how can one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? One chases 1,000, two puts 10,000 to flight. Do you know that two is not twice as good as one? Two is 10 times as good as one. The opposite is true as well. Not only can the right people propel you in the right direction, the wrong people can take you in the wrong direction. Hello? Proverbs 12, verse 26 says, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. The New Living Translation says, the godly give good advice to their friends. The wicked lead them astray. See, that's why you need the right people. Paul told the church in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 15:33, he said, don't fool yourself. Bad friends will destroy you. Do not fool yourself. You hang around the wrong people, they'll take you the wrong direction. I hear this all the time from people that attend Connect groups, like Bruce. Bruce unusually is not here today. It's the one day he's a fisherman, and he's fishing today. He's usually always here. But he's told me so many times, he said, Pastor Steve, I'm 66 years old, and since I came to this church, I have never had the friends that are in my life. I've never had such close friends. I've never had such loving, faithful, supportive friends. I've never had the friends that I have right now. He told me that many, many times. Is that right, Debbie? I want you to think about this. What are the five most dominant voices in your life? Think about your five closest friends for a moment. Who are the people that you spend the most time with? Because if you want to see the potential in your life, look at the five most dominant relationships around you. You show me the five dominant voices in your life, and I will show you the trajectory of where your life is headed to. I'll tell you where you're headed. Any area of your life. Let's say your five closest buddies all work with you, and they all hate their job, they hate the company, they hate the boss, they don't like this, they don't like that, nothing's fair, they can't get ahead. Guess what? You've got a ceiling on your professional career, because that bad attitude, you hang around those people, is going to rub off on you, and pretty soon you're going to be talking just like them, and you're going to be going anywhere. On the other hand, if the five people that you work with, if they've got this attitude, if they say, hey man, we believe we can be promoted in this company, if we serve our company as if we're serving the Lord, and if we honor our boss, I promise you, those people are promotable. If you hang out with people who have an entrepreneurial mindset. You got it? One of those was right. In other words, people that have this attitude, hey, we can make a difference in this world. Hey, man, we can make a difference in the kingdom. There's money to be made. We're going to use it for the kingdom of God. You hang around people like that, guess what? Your professional ceiling just went way, way up. Amen? Or take marriage. Let's say that you married, and your five closest married friends have all got messed up marriages. The guys are all, you know, going out, hanging out at the bar, chasing other women. The wives disrespect their husbands. They don't like him. He's a blah, blah, blankety, blank, blank, blank. Guess what? Your chances of a good marriage just went down. On the other hand, if your five closest married friends love God and there's godliness in their relationship, and the men are laying down their life to serve their wife, like Christ did the church, and the wives are loving and showing respect and honoring their husband, guess what? If your five closest friends are like that, you're on your way to having a great marriage. Because those voices will speak life into you. Are you with me? Or take your relationship with God. If your closest friends are casual Christians, partiers, they call themselves Christians, they don't live like it, or maybe they're not Christians at all. You hang around people like that, and let me tell you, they will pull you down. But if you hang around people that make the Word of God a priority, they're people of prayer, they're in the church, they're using their gifts, they're serving, let me tell you, guess what? You got kingdom greatness because of the people that are around you. I'm talking about the power of connection. You show me the five most dominant voices in your life, and I'll show you where your life is headed. Why does this matter? Because when the right people gather for the right reasons, God is there, and the right things happen. I'm talking about the power of connection, family, the power of heart and soul relationships. I'm going to show you a story from the Old Testament. It reminds me of what happens at Connect Group. In this story, there's three main players in the story: King Saul, his son Jonathan, and Jonathan's armor bearer. And what is happening is the Israelites were oppressed. They've been whooped up on by the Philistines. The Israelites are hiding in caves and they're scared to death. The Philistines have been dominating them. And so the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 14, one day Jonathan, the son of Saul, he said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side." But he didn't tell his father where he was going. Why didn't he tell his father? Because he had a very fractured relationship with his father. Today we'd say King Saul was an absent father. Maybe you had a dad like that. Maybe your dad wasn't there for you emotionally. He was there, but he wasn't there. Or maybe for some of you it was your mom, or maybe it was a close friend, or maybe a spouse. But someone who should have been in a supporting role in your life, but they weren't. And you missed out on something significant. Well, the Bible says one day it all changed. One day Jonathan said, "You know what? Jonathan said, "It might as well be today, because I'm tired of where I'm at. I'm gonna do something about these Philistines. I'm not gonna stay where I am. I'm gonna do something about these Philistines." For some of you, today is that day. Today, make a decision. You're gonna intentionally seek out the right relationships, because the right relationships rarely happen by accident. They take investment, they take sacrifice, and they take time, and they take commitment. Can you say amen? I just want to share a few thoughts about the right people. And the first thing that we see about the right people, is when you're surrounded by the right people help you to navigate obstacles. They help you to navigate temptations in your life. In 1 Corinthians, I mean, in carrying on with the story in 1 Samuel 14, it says that, is it verse 4? What was the last verse that I read? Okay, so Jonathan says, "We're going to go over to the Philistines," all right? And it says here, on each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistines, there was a cliff. And one was called Bozez, and the other one was called Senna. Now, Bozez means slippery, and Senna means thorny. It's interesting, on our journey to please God, often we have to navigate the slippery slopes of temptation or the thorny obstacles of our spiritual enemy. And if you don't have the right people in your life, let me tell you right now, as you're moving toward God, what God wants for you, you can easily be tripped up by temptation, or you can get proud or get greedy on a business deal or do something, you know, stupid. But when the right people are there, they speak encouragement, they speak correction. They can even kick your butt when you need your butt kicked, when you have people around you that truly care for you. But when you don't have the right people, you can lose ground on the slippery slopes of temptation. The same is true of obstacles. You run into a challenge. Sometimes we face a challenge and we think to ourselves, "I just wish there was someone who could help me. I don't know what to do. I've never been here before." Let me tell you, there are many of you today, you've got people around you, but you're in a place where you just need some help. You might be hurting. Even though there are people around you, you feel lonely. You keep thinking, "I wish someone cared. I wish someone knew. I'd give anything if I could just cry with somebody, if someone would just listen to me." Some of you may be facing something you just don't know what to do. You'd give anything if someone could give you advice, if someone could help you to figure out, give you guidance. Let me tell you, family, what's missing? You're missing the right people in your life, because the right people will help you to navigate through those times. And the second thing that we learn from the story about the right people is that they help us to overcome a wavering faith. I mean, how many of you sometimes in your life, you got a real strong faith, then other times your faith isn't as strong? How many of you would say, that's me? I mean, we're going to see how Jonathan struggles with this. Jonathan says to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of the uncircumcised fellows, the Philistines. And then he says, perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or few. He says, come with me, maybe. Let's attack, maybe, perhaps. I'm not sure, but perhaps the Lord will help us. See, we see he has this faith, but then he has this uncertainty. Sometimes it happens to me. Sometimes I'll come home and I'll say to Jill, you know what? God is leading me to do this, I think. God has prompted me to do this, I hope. Every now and then you need the right people around you to help give you the faith to do what God has put in your heart to do. You need people to encourage you, to stand with you. Amen. Maybe you got a vision, you got a dream, but you haven't got the courage to act. Because when you need the right people to stand with you. Here's the heart of my message. And I pray that this lands in your heart as it has in mine. The heart of my message is, what are the right people? The right people are people that are with you heart and soul. The right people are with you heart and soul. The right spiritual influences are with you heart and soul. I'm not talking about, you know, we're friends on Facebook. I follow you on Twitter. You know, 144 characters or less. Let's do life together. I'm talking about people who are in your life all the time, heart and soul, every bit of it. They're standing with you. I love what Jonathan's armor bearer replies. Jonathan is like, let's go, you know, but I'm afraid. I think we can. I'm not sure. Perhaps. And his armor bearer says in verse 7, do all that you have in your heart. Do all that you have in mind. He said, go ahead. I'm with you, heart and soul. I'm with you, heart and soul. You know what happened? They crossed that pass together where Jonathan was in the front. And his armor bearer was behind them. And Jonathan, as they went through the pass, he would fight the Philistines. And his armor bearer would fight them from behind until eventually they killed 20 people. 20 Philistines were laying in there. And then the Bible says that the panic struck the Philistine army. And just then an earthquake struck. And the Philistine army became confused. They turned on each other and they started killing each other. And they started running away. The Lord, the Bible says, that day the Lord delivered Israel. You know why? Because Jonathan and his armor bearer, heart and soul, I'm with you all the way. And they fought together, back to back. Family, you need people like that who are with you, heart and soul. You'll see amazing victories in your life, family. When you have people that have the attitude, whatever God puts in your heart, I'm going to be there for you. I'm not leaving you. I'm not here for a while and then gone. I'm with you from the deepest places of my life. I'm with you heart and soul, baby. You can count on me. When you're afraid, I'll stand by you. When you're discouraged, I'll encourage you. When you're praying, I'm going to pray with you. Family, I don't know about you. When I'm praying for a miracle, I don't want to pray by myself. I want to know that I've got some heart and soul prayer warriors locking arms with me and shaking the heavens with me with our combined faith. Can you say, come on, give God praise today. Yeah, put your hands together and get excited today. Let me tell you, there is something about agreement that touches the heart of God. When people pray in agreement, it is powerful. Matthew 18, verse 19, Jesus said, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything you will ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. There's power in agreement. When you go through a tragedy in life, and we all at some point face these things, you know what you need? You need some heart and soul people. Your teenage daughter comes home pregnant, or your son gets hooked on drugs. What you don't need is some religious, judgmental, holier-than-thou church person to say, well, if you had been a better parent, there must have been some sins in your life. I knew that you weren't. No, you need someone who says, heart and soul, baby, I'm locking with you. We're going to pray this thing through. We're going to get godly counsel, and we're going to see God take what the enemy meant for your harm and turn it to your good. Can you say amen, church? You need some heart and soul people. Someone who's with your heart and soul. If your marriage is on shaky ground, what you don't need is someone taking sides with a wife and another person taking sides with a husband and driving the marriage further apart. What you need is a few people who come alongside and they'll say, man, heart and soul, we're for your marriage. You're not going to get divorced. We're not going to let the enemy steal your marriage. We're going to stick with you. We're going to love you. We're going to support you heart and soul to the very end. Let me tell you, that's what Connect Group is all about. The right people, heart and soul people. I've seen Connect Group members just bond where they help one another. I mean, we had one of our Connect Groups, a couple fell on some difficult times financially. Let me tell you, the husband had to have treatment for like a year. He couldn't work. You know what the Connect group did? They all chipped in. They all helped this couple for 1 year. They helped this couple. You know what that is? Let me tell you what that is. That's the body of Christ. That is heart and soul. That's where the rest of the world looks on. And they say, that's the craziest thing I ever seen. That's the community I want to be a part of. That's this other-centered kind of mentality, this Christ-loving group. And let me tell you, family, when one's in need, the others carry them. That's heart and soul. If you don't have the right people, I promise you, your potential is going to be vastly limited. The missing ingredient for so many people is the right people in their life. Amen. I'm telling you, look at the people around you. If you don't have the right people, you're going in the wrong direction. It's so important. In Exodus chapter 17, the Israelites were being attacked by the Amalekites. And Moses told Joshua to choose some men and to go and fight them. And he said that Moses said, I'll stand on top of the hill and I will hold up the rod of God in my hands. And when he held up the rod of God, the army of Israel would win the battle. But whenever he got tired and his arms started to drop, they would start to lose the battle. So you know what God did? God sent two heart and soul friends, Aaron and Hur. And one sat on one side of Moses and held up one arm. And the other one sat on the other side of Moses and held up the other arm. And suddenly, with heart and soul strength, Moses was able to keep his hands up in the air. And Israel got the victory. They won the battle. See, some of you don't have the strength to make it by yourself. You're sinking. You maybe in debt. Maybe you're falling behind. Maybe spiritually you're flat. Maybe your children going the wrong direction. Maybe the enemy is attacking you. You just feel like you can't hold your arms up anymore. What do you need? You need some heart and soul people to come alongside and say, I will carry you. I will sustain you. You ain't heavy. You hear the song? You my brother. Family, when you look at the New Testament, that's what you see. You see biblical community. In Acts 2:42, it says they were like family to each other. The Passion Bible says their hearts were mutually linked to one another. In Acts 4:32, it says the company of believers was of one heart and soul. They were of one heart and soul. Say heart and soul. They were of one heart and soul. Not one of them claimed anything belonging to them was exclusively his own, but everything was common property for the use of all. And with great ability and power, the apostles were continuously testifying to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace rested richly upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, because those who were owners of land, watch this, those who were owners of land or houses were selling them and bringing the proceeds of the sales and laying them, placing the money down at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed as anyone had need. People went out and they sold their houses. They sold their properties. They brought the money that lay at the apostles' feet so that they could use it for the work of God and they could use it to help people that need help. That's heart and soul, family. The Bible says they met daily together and they shared the word of God together. If anyone had need, they sold it to meet the need. Other people must have seen this and said, man, what do they have? I don't understand what they believe, but I like what those people have. Amen. What did they have? They had heart and soul. Connect groups. Let me tell you, it's the purest form of the church. What I'm doing here, what I'm doing today, the strength of my family, our spiritual strength has been modeled. You know why? Because I've had right people in my life. Everywhere I am today is because of having the right people around me. Let me tell you some reasons as I close today why some people don't go to Connect Group. First reason is because of naivety. Is that how you say it? You know, is that how you say it? Naivety. Some of you just don't know how much you need to. Some people think, I can handle life by myself. Let me tell you, God never created you to handle life by yourself. You are part of a body, and you need people to come alongside, heart and soul. Number two, some people, because of temperament. Pastor Steve, I don't have an outgoing personality. I'm shy. Listen, that's not a good enough excuse. I can promise you right now, you get in Connect Group, I've had so many people tell me that I never, ever had the kind of relationships that I have in my life and friends that I have in the church till I went to Connect Group. Third reason people don't go to Connect Group is because of fear. Well, what's going to happen if I go? Or they're afraid of opening up to people. For some people, it's past experiences. Maybe they've been wounded in the past. Instead of, you know, healing that wound, many people's response is, well, I'm never going to let that happen again. I'm never going to get close to anyone again. I understand that, but it's the wrong response, because we mustn't let past experiences keep us from God's best. We've got to work through those issues. When someone hurts you, forgive them. Don't say, well, I'm going to another church. Because what's going to happen when someone hurts you there? You'll spend your life moving from one place to the next. Listen, grow up. Seriously, forgive them. It's the biblical thing to do. You got someone annoying? Of course you do. It's a principle. Let me tell you, every connect group has at least one person who's annoying, and it is a principle that teaches you how to love people. And then the last one is busyness. I hear this all the time. Oh, I'm so busy. I'm so busy. I'm just so busy. I'm just so busy. I'm so busy, 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 busy. I'm so busy. Pastor Steve, I'd love to come to church. I'm too busy. I'm just so busy. I'm just so busy. I'd love to come to Connect Group. I'm so busy. Can I break it to you? We're all busy. Okay, we're all busy. I've got a Dave and Juju McMahon. David, who plays the guitar, they're running a Connect Group. He works 6 days a week till 7 p.m., Monday to Saturday to 7 p.m., but they're going to run a Connect Group. Don't tell me you're busy. Let me tell you, have you ever heard where there's a will, there's a way? How many things are we doing that are contributing nothing to our life? Don't let your schedule dictate how you live, family. When someone says, I don't have time to go to Connect Group, my reply is, you don't have time not to have the right people in your life. I have to. I need prayer. I need a place where I can just drop it all and I can just go there and I can say, listen, I'm hurting. I'm tired. I'm overwhelmed. I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. I don't know what to do. Hey, I'm praying about this. Won't you pray with me? What do you think? Get it. Amen. Move on for me if you would. I've already told that story. When I look at the Christian community today, I think the most gaping need that I see is a lack of community. And the wrong people speaking into people's lives. If the five most dominant voices in your life aren't lifting you closer to God, then your possibilities have just been capped. But when the right people are inspiring you with God's truth and praying for you and lifting you up, let me tell you, you want stronger finances? Get around people who know how to biblically handle their finances. You want a stronger relationship? Get around people with stronger relationships. You want to be closer to God? Get around people who are closer to God. Proverbs 13, verse 20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, associate with fools and get in trouble. I pray that you will join a connect group. I pray that you will gather with the right people for the right reasons and watch God do the right things in your life. Whenever two or three gather in His name, He's there in the midst of them. Amen. Think about this. Do you have the right people closest to you? Now that doesn't mean that, you know, you mustn't have any non-Christian friends. You should have people that you're ministering to, but I'm talking about your inner circle, heart and soul, for better or for worse. Your people are my people. Nothing will separate us but death. I got your arms, you got my arms, I got you, baby, you know, heart and soul. Every person needs community. We all need that place where everybody knows your name. If you're my age or older, maybe that rings a bell. It's a theme song from a sitcom called Cheers. It was about a bar owned by a Red Sox pitcher, and it became this hangout place where they became like family, because everyone wants to go to a place where they know your name. The theme song was making your way in the world today takes everything you got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. Unfortunately, that was about a bar and not the church. I believe God has designed the church to be the place where everybody knows your name. Amen. Amen. I want to ask real quick. I want to ask our Connect Group leaders to come up here, if you don't mind. Come and stand up here. We're going to be launching 6 groups this week, and we got one in Port St. Lucie. We got one in Stuart. We got 3 in Jupiter, and we got one down in West Palm Beach. And I want to ask you, don't be shy. Come stand right up here at the front. Don't be shy. And I want to introduce the groups to you real fast. I'm going to start on this side. Come on in. Move on in. Tom, come down a little bit more. There you go. Thank you. Start here with Todd and Janice. Todd and Janice are running a group starting this week, this Tuesday night. It's going to be this Tuesday night at Michelle's house in Port St. Lucie. Then Pam and Jerry are running a group, I think, Wednesday night, correct? And this week is going to be meeting at your house in the Jupiter Farms this Wednesday night. Where's Anna? Anna in Children's Church? Tom and Anna, I've asked them. They are the team leader over all of our connect groups. They are going to be visiting the groups and helping the leader. They've been involved with us for many, many years, and we really appreciate Tom and Anna are helping us with the connect groups. Bobby and Amy. Now, I say Bobby and Amy, I put you together. They're not married yet, but hopefully one of these days soon. But Bobby and Amy, they are going to be running a connect group into Cuesta. Is it on Thursday night? Thursday night into Cuesta. They're going to have a great group. David and Juju. David and Juju, they have a group that's on Thursday night down in West Palm Beach. So if you're anywhere down West Palm Beach, Kathy, Boynton, Lake Worth, going to meet at their house on Thursday night. Amen. And then the Stewart group. My mom is standing here. Her and Stacy are running a group up in Stewart on Wednesday nights, correct? At your house on Wednesday night. This is my mother, Maureen. And then we have Chris and Isabel, and they are having a group. Is it on Wednesday night in Jupiter, correct? In fact, what we're doing is 1 week it's at Pam and Jerry's house, and the next week it's at Chris and Isabel's house. Chris is a pharmacist, and his schedule is that it changes every other week. That's why he works every other Sunday. And I'm so glad now that with the Connect groups being bi-weekly, he can run a group because we're on his schedule. And then we got Mandy and Andrew. I like to say Andrew because I don't like to say Mandy and Andy. They call you Mandrew. Is that what they call you? Andy, Andrew, and Mandy, they're having a group on what night is it?
Thursday.
On Thursday night, they're having a group on Thursday night, and it's on the border of Gardens and Jupiter. One side of the street is Gardens, and the other side of the street is Jupiter, just west of Donald Ross, right? And Michelle, thank you. We're having the group in Port St. Lucie at your home this Tuesday. Now, I wanted you to meet all these folks because if you haven't yet signed up for a Connect group, please come say hi to them, get the address, come join us this week in Connect groups. Why don't you give them a big round of applause? Thank you so much. Thank you. You may be seated. Church, can I ask you to bow your head for a moment? Can I ask you to close your eyes? Can I have that card, please? Would you bow your head? Dave, would you play the piano for me? Just bow your head if you would. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Lord, thank you today that not only are we joined to you, but we are joined to your family, to your body. We thank you for the brothers and sisters that we have. We thank you for bringing right relationships in our life, people who encourage us, people who are good influence, people who strengthen us. Your word says like iron sharpens iron. That's how our friends would sharpen us, Lord. I want to pray right now before we come to a close. I want to pray for anyone who's here this morning and you are not sure where you stand with God today. You're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord. I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain? Can you say that you know without any doubt? If you died, you know you'd go to heaven. Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. What I'm asking you is if you died today, are you absolutely sure? Are you 100% positive of where you'd spend eternity? Because the good news is you can be sure. You can walk out of here this morning knowing that all is well, all is right with you and God, knowing that every mistake, every sin you committed in your life is forgiven and washed away, and knowing for sure that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all of eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is real. There's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun. And I want to pray right now for anyone who's here, says, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure that all is well between me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that is you, quickly, can I ask you to just slip your hand up high? Just raise your hand up high. I'm looking for hands, and if your hand is raised up, then you're included in this prayer this morning. Thank you. God bless you. Just wave it. Here's my hand. Pray for me, Pastor Steve. Do you see anybody? Pam, am I missing anybody? I can't see. You see anyone, Pam? No. All right. Praise the Lord. Look up here for a moment, if you would. I want to come to a close, family. I just want to, I'm going to be receiving the offering today. I want to share with you before we get ready to give. Anyone here believes in giving today? Is anyone believes in giving? Anyone believes in tithing? Any cheerful givers in the house today? Can I hear you this morning? You know, we saw in the book of Acts, chapter 4, I read the scripture, how the people were united, heart and soul, and how they sold their houses and sold lands and brought the money, the proceeds, and gave it to God's house. We saw that, right? And the Apostle Paul, he spoke about this heart and soul kind of giving. It happened in the church in Macedonia. And Paul wrote about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He said, "Beloved ones, we must tell you about the grace of God that's poured out upon the churches of Macedonia. For even during a season of severe difficulty and tremendous suffering, they became even more filled with joy from the depths of their extreme poverty. Superabundant joy overflowed into an act of extravagant generosity. I can verify that they spontaneously gave not only according to their means, but far beyond what they could afford. They actually begged us. They actually begged us for the privilege of sharing in the ministry of giving. Do you know that we don't have to give, we get to give? Do you know that giving is a privilege? The Bible says we get to share in the privilege of giving. Do you want to know why? Do you want to know why it's a privilege? Because one day when we stand before the Lord, we are going to be rewarded. We're going to see everything that happened because of our giving. And the Lord's going to say, "You see what happened at Ascend Church? Do you see these people's lives? These people were saved. These people, their lives were changed. And it was because of your giving." That's what it's saying. It says they exceeded our expectations. That's why we appeal to Titus, since he was the one who got you started and he encouraged you to give. He encouraged you to. Do you know that it's correct? Do you know that it's biblical to be encouraged to give? Do you know that what I'm doing this morning is exactly what Paul did? He said, "We sent Titus to encourage you to give so he could help you complete this generous undertaking on your behalf." It says, "You do well. You excel in every respect, in unstoppable faith, in powerful preaching, in revelation knowledge, in your passionate devotion, in your sharing the love we've shown to you." So make sure, tell your neighbor, make sure. What did he say? "Make sure that you excel also in this grace-filled generosity." He said, make sure that you excel in being generous. God wants us to excel in this area, family, of being generous. Can you say amen, somebody? You know, we made a decision that we only want to take five offerings. We only want to take five offerings. No, I said that wrong. We only want to take 5 minutes. And every Sunday we want to teach the scripture, encourage people to give. But we don't want to put too much emphasis, because I want you to know you can bring people to church, and we don't want that to be our focus. We want to see our church grow. And I don't believe if I get up here and start talking about funds all the time that that's going to do that. But you know, a lot of people don't realize, because you know, when we moved in this building, a lot of people don't realize what it took to get in here and what it takes to keep us in here. Because I haven't been talking about it. A lot of you don't know what we've been trusting and believing God for the last few months, and how that we've gone behind in some things because people haven't really been giving like they were with giving when we were at the hotel and we were giving to get in this building. A lot of people think now we're in here, like, I don't know, they think like it's free or something, but it's not free. Do you know that since we moved in this building in January, we've spent $160,000 finishing this building. $160,000. Finishing this building. Now, I could tell you 160 different things of how that happened. I mean, we had an inspection. Fire inspector came in, we're doing inspection to have all the air conditioning units shut down, right? If smoke gets in the duct, the AC unit has to shut down. It's fire prevention. Well, we had the inspection. He gets here, and then he decides at the last minute, I want all your units to shut down at the same time. It's called a global shutdown. Our company that's doing it said, we never get asked to do this. They couldn't believe it, that we were getting asked to do this. He just decided, I want a global shutdown. Now, that one little decision cost us several thousand dollars. I can stand here and tell you 100 things like that that have happened since we moved in the building. So, praise God, we're just about, we are done. But a lot of you don't realize that, you know, just our operating expenses, our monthly operating expenses are $48,000 a month. That's what it takes to operate this church, $12,000 a week. Now, we've had some weeks where it was only $6,000. That means we went behind $6,000 in 1 week. So now we're in a situation where we're behind on our mortgage, like $30,000. And I don't want to get up here every week and talk to you about it, but here's what I need, folks. You know what? God is asking every one of us to do our part. I'm not asking anyone to do what you cannot do, but to do what you're able to do. And let me tell you what we are all able to do is we are all able to tithe on whatever God gives us. We are all able to, come on, can you clap a little bit better for that? We are all able to tithe on what God gives us. We all God asks, God doesn't ask us for what we can't do or what we don't have. God's plan, let me tell you, God's plan is that his house is financed by the tithes and offerings of his people. And in return for providing for his house, because I've had people come to me, we should do a rummage sale. We should do a bake sale. And there's nothing wrong with those things, but God never said my church is financed by rummage sales and bake sales. When everyone's tithing, we don't need any rummage sales and bake sales. We don't need your rummage. We need you to put God first and start tithing to God's house. Amen. Some people, they want to bring their rummage. Well, here's some rummage, Pastor Steve. Go sell it in the parking lot and see if you can. No, you bring your tithe to God's house. And when you do that, God opens the windows of heaven and he takes care of your house. That's what God said. God said, if you'll provide for my house, I will open the windows of heaven and I will take care of your house and I will protect you and I will fight for you. But if we don't tithe, the Bible says we rob God, and instead of having God's blessing on our house, we have a curse on our house. Now, if you're here today and say, Pastor Steve, I just don't understand it. I've worked so hard. I'm working 2 jobs, 3 jobs. I can't make it. Are you tithing? Because you could work 5 jobs, and if you're not tithing, you're going to struggle because you're under a curse. The windows of heaven are closed. But when you start honoring God and tithing, the windows of heaven open. And when you see, God has designed it. You take care of my house, I'll take care of your house. If you, go back for me, please, Tasha, the previous one. If you value, how many of you value this church? You glad that every week you can come and hear the word of God? Let me see if you value, this is my home and I value this church. Well, I'm asking you to put your money where your mouth is. Put your money where your mouth is, honey. God is counting on you to support his house financially. He's counting on you. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Are you ready to give this morning? Is anyone ready here to give this morning? I'm asking you, family, to do your part. If everybody does their part, everything's going to be good. Amen. If everyone does their part, I just wanted you to know, we've been trusting God and carrying this for 3 months. But how many of you know this isn't my church? This is our church. This isn't the church of Steve. This is God's church, but we're all part of it. And God brought you here. We all got a part to play. Can you say amen? Are you ready to give this morning? I hope you are. There are envelopes for your giving in the seat back in front of you. There are different ways you can give. You can give by cash, by credit card. You can give by check, online. You can give on the mobile app. You can give by text giving. Do we have it up there? Oh, there it is, mobile text giving. Our kiosk in the lobby. There's various ways that you can give. We want to make it as easy as possible. But I want you to hold your tithe, your offering. I want you to hold it in your hand, however you may be doing it. I want you to hold it in your hand because I want to pray right now. I want to pray over that. We're gonna pray that God will bless this. Are you ready? Are you with me, family? Father, I thank you. This is your house. And I thank you, Lord, you promised. You said that when we bring the tithe into the house of God, that you open the windows of heaven and you pour a blessing. You pour blessing that cannot be contained, and you rebuke the devourer. Lord, I thank you. I pray your blessing. I thank you for blessing every tither. I thank you as your people support your house. I thank you, you take care of their house. I thank you, Lord, you open doors supernaturally. I thank you that you bring promotions in their life. I thank you, Lord, that you bless the work of their hands. I thank you that your favor surrounds your people, that your favor goes before them, Lord, that your favor causes doors to open that were never opened to them before. I thank you for giving wisdom, direction, godly ideas, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for blessing your people abundantly, Father, and thank you that you are the God who supplies all of our needs, Lord. We look to you. We thank you for supplying every need in our life and every need in this church in Jesus' name. And everybody who believed it, shout it out a big amen, amen and amen.
You do a good offering message.
I'll try my best.
Very motivating. I just want to mention that we have a ladies' meeting coming up, ladies' night. It's going to be so good. It's on May the 10th. On a Friday night at 7 p.m. And me and Amy are going to be here. Was it you clapping? Good. It's going to be phenomenal. It's the Mother's Day weekend, so it's a chance. Invite your daughters, your sisters, your aunts, your mothers, whoever, women around you. And we've got a number of things we're going to do. If you're a vendor, we have a number of ladies that sell products and do various things. And if you'd like to have a table out in the lobby, we're going to have a number of people so we can network, so we can see what other people do and see how we can support one another. Come and see me about that afterwards. We're going to have I want to have a few surprises, so I don't want to tell everything, but we got some really good things planned for you. There's going to be food, there's going to be some fellowship, there's going to be some a word ministry that'll be exciting, and it'll reach various different people, so I don't want to tell.
That's fine. And then after service today, we have lunch club today.
Yeah.
We have food after service.
Right.
You're most welcome to join us.
And those who are on growth track can eat first, and then
if you're
come
on the growth
on
track,
to
have
growth
something
track
to eat, and go at 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
We start the last step of growth track today. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. Tell them, I need you. You need me. We're connected to each other. Amen. Family, I want to encourage you. What is your job this week? Invite someone to church. That's your job. Say, my job this week is to invite someone to come to church. Invite someone to come to church. Amen.